Good morning and welcome. I like the defiance in the last song. You know, when the enemy starts to get you down, just start to worship. Say, hey, take that, right? Because we're on the winning team. If we're on God's side. He has overcome. He is victorious. Let us never forget that. Let us live in that. All right, today then, continuing with 1 John a little bit more. He's got a lot of good things that he's writing, that he's telling us, and they definitely apply today as well as back in the time when they were written. Some of these things are timeless, and the Bible is. Everything in it is basically timeless. Very true. All right, let's start with our readings today.
Our first reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word which uplifts, your word which instructs, your word which guides, your word which brings us peace and shows us the way. May it speak to us today. Amen. All right, back into 1 John after a little bit from Advent there and then Christmas, some great messages, and then last week the message about come and see. And let that be, again, our guide for this coming year, to come and see, come and experience. You know, invite others deliberately. Let's make an effort this year to invite others to come and see so that the kingdom will grow. People have access to the peace and joy and the love and everything else that God brings. And, of course, eternal life. So back to 1 John here. And this part I've always read and sort of wondered a little bit. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Okay, what kind of spirits and how do we know them? And in what ways are they talking to us? And this week I had the chance to dig into this, to read a bunch of commentaries, to watch some videos and some sermons, and to check out the history of what John's writing here. And as always, other translations open it up as well. We use the NIV here quite often. Again, in Bible study, Gwen really brings her King James. Jill has her New Living, typically. I have the NIV, and Marlene brings a variety of them. Depending on which week it is, she'll bring a different Bible. And it's just great because sometimes, in translation, of course, there's no exact words, so we take the best ones we can, but there's other ones that work too. So the New Living Translation here. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. Okay, wow, all right, cool. So now we're listening to a person, not to some spirits, you know, in the night or something. Well, the people are being controlled by spirits. Ideally, we're submitted to God being controlled by the Holy Spirit, right? But there are other spirits out there that are controlling people, for sure, 100%. The Bible tells us all about it. We don't always see it, but we see the results of it. We see the results of it. So, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. You can't believe everything you hear, okay? That's just an old saying, but there's a lot of truth to it. You can't believe everything you hear. And there's a lot of people out there who seek to mislead others for personal gain or for power. They start movements or cults or things like that, and they get people to follow them. Not only in the religious world, but also in the political world, of course, as well. People are trying to attract followers to accumulate power. And the power here, people are following, of course, the enemy. These false prophets, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It was a concern back then. As the early church is evolving, people don't have the full set of scripture to go on. They're going on things that they've heard about Jesus from others. They're going on the Old Testament, of course. But there's different variations of Christianity out there. Some are holding true to the gospel, and some are getting a little bit off track. And Paul, in his letters, corrects people and says, hey, you know, you're going down the wrong road. Just get it back on the Jesus road. And that's the deal here, too, where John is talking or writing to people in this next part here about Gnosticism. It's a religion that was growing in popularity at the time, and it means knowing, basically, understanding. The Greeks were big on understanding and accumulating knowledge. And yeah, it's great for a lot of things, but we can't make that our God. And that's what Gnosticism was sort of about. One of the basic tenets of Gnosticism is that everything in the physical is evil, but only the things of the spirit are pure. So we seek to be more spiritual and to put aside the physical or the flesh, which, you know, I can see some overlap with Christianity as well, because of the things of the flesh are going to tempt us, they're going to drive us to other things where we should be seeking, you know, God and the Spirit. So there's some truth to that, but they took it to extremes. So what are you saying here then? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And that's, again, a correction for those that are following Gnosticism. Because they saw Jesus as a Christ spirit, basically. Whereas a lot of people will say that, hey, Jesus was a person, he walked the earth. They have a hard time believing he was God. Whereas the Gnostics said, hey, he's God, but he did not come in the flesh. Because the flesh is evil, the flesh is corrupt. So here's what John is telling him then. Anybody that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he was true man, is from God. And of course, Jesus is that mixture of true man and true God. He's both. We cannot fully explain him as God without the man component, without the human component. And we cannot fully explain him as God just with a human without, you know, the God part. He was this mixture of both. He came as a human. He walked this earth. He showed us the way. He endured temptation, as we heard in the gospel today. All these things to connect with us and to show us how we should live, to set an example which we admittedly cannot follow 100%. We can't live the life that Jesus did. But it's a goal to strive for. It's a way to honor God, to live in those ways, to have that compassion for others, to be there for others, as Jesus always was and still is. So he's correcting these people that are following Gnosticism, and after reading that and some different translations, all of a sudden this was opened up to me and made more sense, okay? A lot more sense than the way I had tried to envision it for years. And I like it when that happens. It just helps me a lot. All right. So, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So yeah, you have to acknowledge Jesus if you're going to be a spirit, the Holy Spirit from God. Anybody else is, or any other spirit, definitely evil, all right? And it says, indeed, it follows, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. The Antichrist, all right? People controlled by the evil one who stand against Christ. And we've got, you know, like the big Antichrist that will come in the end times, but there are also many other Antichrists. John writes about that elsewhere in his letter here as well. We've already covered part of that. So yeah, those that are controlled by the evil one. And in many ways and in many forms. But that's not us. He reminds us in verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. We've overcome the desires of flesh, the sin of the flesh, the things that used to control us. Once we give ourselves to God, they no longer have that control on us. The attacks bounce off. We've been given this impervious armor. Of course, we can still let things leak in. You know, we're vulnerable to temptation. But the old sins that used to control us are no more once we've been born again. It's a beautiful thing. And we have been given the Holy Spirit, right? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, yes, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When the Spirit lives within us, when the Spirit guides our thoughts, when we submit to God that he's controlling us, yeah, we are walking in victory. And that's what's happening here. And we still get attacked. We still get the temptations for sin. But the Holy Spirit within us, God always provides a way out, right? We'll never be tempted beyond our ability to resist. God will provide a way out, it says in Scripture. And we have that, and we can live in that, and we can invite others into it as well. So these others, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Oh boy, does it, okay? People want to be told what they want to hear. It tells us that, Paul writes that, you know, people seek leaders and teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And we definitely see that today, where people are trying to set their own truth, what's acceptable. Whereas, you know, you got God's truth, what is really acceptable. The ways of this world today, that's where our fear for our children, once again, that they're being told so many things that are counter to Scripture. And they're being expected to believe them and to promote them. And it's just wrong. We have to steer things back into Scripture here, into the right way that God set for us. Because kids are vulnerable. Jesus, when he was tempted, he was in a vulnerable state, 40 days without food. Anybody's going to be hungry, right? But little children are really vulnerable in a lot of ways. They are in a learning mode, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I watch it with our 2-year-old grandson. He's just in learning mode. He's picking up on things so quickly. He sees things. He understands things. He's starting to master things. And when kids are in learning mode, yeah, the brain has that neuroplasticity, and they're just taking stuff in. And the other thing about kids is, do they always question things? Or are they more likely to just accept them and believe them? Yeah. When you tell something to a kid, you know, you can have fun joking around with them, telling them something, you know, just for fun, and then they, oh, yeah, they believe it, right? And, yeah, kids, I mean, all through the school ages are in that learning mode. They are vulnerable, and they are likely to believe anything they hear. So let's make sure they're hearing truth. If they're not hearing it from the world, from the TV, from the Internet, from their phones, they ought to at least be hearing it from us, hearing truth. God's word. The world's going to tell them all kinds of things, all kinds of false messages, which are going to make them question not only the world around them, but question themselves, who they really are, if they really have worth. But who does God say we are? He says that you are valued, that you are loved, that you are accepted. He loved you so much he's willing to die for you. That you matter. That you matter, that you have worth. Let us be spreading those messages. Again, what God says about us. Because the world is saying so many other things and people are responding out of fear. But we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. So yes, when we're saying things from God, it ought to register. It ought to ding, ding. The Spirit ought to be confirming it. When you hear something that is true, it should just be confirmed within you. The Spirit should rise up within you and say, yes, yes, I recognize that. That is the Word of God. That is truth. We should have this discernment, again, the Holy Spirit within us, that allows us to separate what's true from what's not. If something doesn't sound right, it's probably not. The Spirit is making you question it. And if something sounds too good to be true, well, maybe it is. But then again, God's offer, a gift of eternal life and peace in this life, does that sound too good to be true? And there's no cost? Yeah, but it is true. Okay, so again, we have to discern carefully. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So when we're speaking truth on God's behalf, or God's speaking truth through us, better yet, it's better when he's speaking through you rather than you just, you know, speaking up on his behalf. If people aren't listening to you, yeah, they're not from God. It says it right here, right? Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It's sort of like their ears are deafened, their minds are made up, they're not going to listen to the ways of God. So they're going to tune us out. It can happen, yeah. But and it's like they're speaking a different language too, but there's something that's universal, and that's actions. If they see us loving others, if they see us caring for others, if they see us providing for others, that's speaking a whole different language right there that anybody can understand. I mean, you can go to some island in the middle of the Indian Ocean where they have no contact with the outside world, but if you're kind to someone else there, is that understandable to them? Absolutely. And also, if you're mean to someone else, that's understandable too. This is a universal language. And to be Christians is to speak the language of love, is to live the language of love, where we are taking others in, where we are caring for them, we are supporting them. Maybe we don't always agree with what they're doing, but hey, we care for the person, just as Christ did and still does. So let us be in tune with that, because there's so many other things that are seeking to mislead us and others out there. We are in the middle of this battle. And Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians today too. For we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Again, our enemy is not flesh and blood. With standard weapons, you got rocket-propelled grenades and rifles and machine guns, they're not going to work against this type of enemy. We do not wage war as the world does. We need a different type of weapon. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. Yes. On the contrary, they have divine power. They have God's power to demolish strongholds. And the battlefield is not always around us. A lot of times within our mind. That's where temptations arise. You look at something, you see something, you go, okay, yeah, and then the thoughts start. Pretty soon those thoughts could give way to sin. And that sin could give way to, you know, evil, of course, and the wages of sin are death. Ultimately, it ends in that. So we have to be careful what we think and what we see. Sometimes we can get into another mindset. The enemy can drag us down. And then we have to fight back. And we can't fight back with typical weapons. But we can fight back with the Word of God by spending time in the Word and grabbing hold of the hope that it has. By spending time in worship, that creates a different mindset. The next time you're starting to get dragged down, the enemy's starting to pull you down, you're getting into a negative mindset. And as I've observed before, it's a whole lot easier to drop from a good mindset to a negative one than to climb your way back up into the positive one. Ever notice that? Someone's mood can change to the negative very quickly, but do they change to the positive as quickly very often? Maybe not. You know, sometimes something will happen, you'll just start, woo, yeah, you're just jump to the positive, but many times it's a battle to climb back up. And that's where that worship can really help. Sing some of those songs that we did this morning. You know, worship is warfare. And it creates an atmosphere. It creates a state of mind then where we are changed, where we're starting to look at the positive. The enemy, with all his negative thoughts, is pushed out. And we can dwell on the things of God. My weapon is a melody, right? We sang that this morning. Sing a little louder, right? Be defiant against these attacks in your mind or in your spirit. Fight back with God's weapons that have the divine power to demolish strongholds. And thoughts will come up, but we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So the enemy is going to plant these seeds of doubt. He's going to sow other seeds in your mind. He's going to distract you. He's going to attract you to other things. We got to get back on track. And a big way to do that is through worship. Turn on Praise FM, start singing along, spend time in the Word, call up another believer. We're here for each other, right? Does God work through us to help others? Absolutely. Again, it's harder to ask for help than to give help many times. But if you find yourself in that kind of state of mind, call up a brother or sister in Christ. Pray together. Let them encourage you. What an incredible thing, working together. So yeah, don't be too proud. It would be too proud, yes, to call up a fellow believer or go knock on the door and say, hey, you know, I could really use help with this. Admitting it and then letting them help you. It feels good to help others, right? You're doing them a favor too because, hey, they get to feel good about helping someone. So I would encourage you to do that. If you find yourself down in the pit sometime, call up a fellow believer. Together you can fight. Alrighty. So controlling your thoughts also. And this is how our verse ends today here. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought. Because sometimes those temptations are going to come back. Well, they are. You're going to be tempted. But you got to take that thought captive. You got to bind it. Alright. Put handcuffs on it. Whatever. Put it in a prison cell where it is rendered ineffective. When someone is taken captive, they are rendered ineffective. Same thing with thoughts. These thoughts are going to lead possibly to actions. But if you grab that thought and you just tie it up, put it in that prison cell, whatever like that, covered with the blood of Christ, it's going to be rendered powerless. It's going to have no power over you whatsoever. Yeah, we're fighting in it with different weapons here, but very effective. Because temptation is strong. Temptation is real. And it hits every single one of us. Nobody's excluded. Nobody's exempt from it. And that's when Jesus walked the earth too. Then he got to experience it and see what it's like. Do you think God is tempted? No. Of course not. But when Jesus became human, he was tempted. And thus he can identify with us more effectively. We read about that today, the temptation of Jesus. Shortly after he was baptized, he went out in the wilderness. Why? Did he want to spend a little time alone? Well, it tells us right here, then Jesus was led by the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Led by the Holy Spirit. This had to happen. This is designed from God. God is sending the Holy Spirit to lead Jesus out to be tempted. So this is not just something that happened. It had to happen. God arranged it. When God arranges something, yeah. So he wasn't led out there by the devil. He was led out by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. 40 days without food. We did a class on fasting here some years ago with Pastor Becky, and some people fasted from various types of things. I fasted from solid foods, and you go 3-4 days, and some people went longer than that. The longest I've ever done personally was 12 days. Drank a lot of juice during that, but as you fast, you get into a different mindset. And Jesus talks about prayer and fasting too, and those two go together. You're just praying more powerfully when you're fasting. You're focused more. Every time you think about food, hey, turn your thought to God instead. It's one of the keys there. And it's a really cool experience. Highly recommend it. You know, make sure you're physically able, first of all. If you're, you know, like diabetic or weak or something like that, I don't recommend trying the fasting. But it can really help you focus. After 40 days, Jesus had to be incredibly focused. But he is also incredibly vulnerable. You think about going a day or two without food, and all of a sudden you smell like maybe fresh bread baking or something like that. Oh, what a wonderful smell, huh? Oh, that's, yeah. Smell the fresh bread baking. You're just thinking of the warm melted butter on it. Oh, yeah. That would be very tempting, wouldn't it? Imagine being 40 days and then being tempted. He's hungry and he's vulnerable, but he's also God. And he is then tempted with bread, right? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, he told him, first of all, okay, tell these stones to become bread. And again, not just any bread. We're thinking of warm, fresh, homemade bread that smells just permeating the house. Oh, my mouth is watering just thinking about it right now again. Yeah, that would be one to be tempted by, right? But he said, no, the word of God, that's what we live on. Because he wasn't dwelling on physical food at this point, but on spiritual. All right, devil regroups, comes back. Had him stand the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he'll command his angels concerning you. This is from Psalm 91. They call it the soldier's psalm many times. And they will lift you up in their hands, and that you will not strike your foot against the stone. True? Yeah. God can do that. He can provide that. But he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. What Jesus is using every time here is Scripture to withstand the attacks. Again, he's setting an example. When we are attacked, we can turn to Scripture to reply to the enemy using Scripture. Think of Ephesians 6, where it's talking about, you know, the breastplate and the helmet of salvation and, you know, the belt of truth and all these things. These are all defensive things. The shield with which to extinguish, the shield of faith, right? The shield, the breastplate, the belt, the helmet, these are all defensive things. There's only one offensive weapon in that passage in Ephesians 6. And that's talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with that, he could fight back effectively. Not just defend, but to fight back with the Word of God. Because the enemy is sneaky. So sneaky. He's had many, many centuries and thousands of years of experience of tempting people. He knows how. As we were reading through this Tuesday morning, we were thinking about his methods and how he makes things sound so good, right? The temptation sounds so good. We said it's like you see the sign says Satan's used cars. Okay. Think of a stereotypical used car salesman, right? They're going to make, oh, look at this model. It's got all this going on. And hey, for this price, just sign on this line right here, right? He's offering the same type thing. Very sneaky. Now, there are good car salesmen out there too, okay? I don't mean to ding them all. I'm just not using a broad brush here, but, you know, the stereotypical one again. So, yeah, he's trying all these things to try to sell you on this, to follow him. And that's his final thing there. He says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. Everything. And Jesus says, no. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There are many other things out there that we could choose to serve. Some of them sort of tempting and alluring, trying to call us to them. But only serve God, right? God first. Don't serve other things. Don't sign on to other belief systems. Do not follow other ways of thinking that lead us away from Scripture. God first and Him only. That's our priority in this life. That's the way to truth. That's the way to eternal life. Again, these other spirits will seek to mislead you through people and through other things to separate you from God. That's the enemy's desires to separate you from God. When you're separate from God, again, you're more vulnerable. You're away from the herd. You're just out there. And without God, your thoughts are not going to be good, and you're going to be incredibly vulnerable. The more he can separate you, the more he's winning. But we need to fight back with the word, with prayer, with gathering with fellow Christians, with music, with worship, and to get closer to God as a result. That we're not separated, but we're becoming one with God, where we are close with him, not only in this life, but for eternity. That is our goal. That is what saves us. Again, the enemy is going to try to separate us, but cling to God. Grab onto him and don't let go. Amen. All righty. We're going to